My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
I got a text from Sister Shannon Boone. She sent me a scripture that she was praying and wanted me to pray from Psalms 91, 1 and 2. So I also got an email from a pastor friend who had Exodus 33 and 21 in it. It was telling me about that place that God has for us. And then I was reading in my daily devotion, and I said, God, you must be trying to tell me something. And about that place that God has prepared for us, that place. And I want to read to you something that I feel like is a very important factor in our victory today. And in our ability to serve the Lord in such a way that we are not defeated by the enemy. I mean, that we're not defeated by life and all that it throws at us. I don't believe God wants you to be defeated today. I believe that God wants you to be victorious. So Psalms 91 and 1 talks about this place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that means you've got to say of the Lord, you've got to say this. And some of you aren't saying these things, and you need to start saying it. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. How many of you will declare it today and say it right now that the Lord is your refuge, your fortress, your God, and I will trust? I think you ought to declare it in the face of every ounce of adversity that you are personally experiencing right now in your life. You ought to say it. But Exodus 33:21 also tells us and gives us a little hope, because it might seem just a little bit out of our reach, and yet, how can we claim and to dwell in this secret place? And the Lord said, He was talking to Moses in Exodus 33:21, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. So if God is declaring that there is a place, I have prepared a place. Isn't that what Jesus said? I've prepared a place for you. And if I'm going there, I'm going to make sure that you get there too. And that's not just an eternal thing. That's not just what we're going to experience in eternity, although I believe it includes eternity. But I believe it also includes now, that wherever I'm operating from, whatever position of power and victory I'm operating from, you can operate from that same place now. I want my place. I don't know about you, but I want the place. I want to find that place. I'm looking for it. I've been looking for it all my life. And I believe that we can find the place that God has. And I just want to talk to you about that secret place. Would you put your Bibles down for just a moment? Would you connect with one another? Would you begin to pray with your voice and lift it up in this house again? One more time, would you allow the Holy Ghost to use your voice? I will say, the Lord, He's my God. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my trust. I will bless the Lord. Would you just cry out for a moment? Would you cry out, because there's somebody that's feeling displaced and disconnected and not like that they belong. And yet God is inviting people into a fellowship with Himself. You can just sense something in the house. There's a powerful anointing already on our worship and our praise here today. God bless you. You may be seated. God's been giving me understanding of the connection between our worship and warfare. And it's important for us to understand that connection, because if you choose to be a worshiper, now if you choose to be silent and not a participant, then perhaps this may not apply to you. But if you begin to use your voice in worship to declare God to be all the things that the psalmist was declaring Him to be, automatically you're in warfare. And it's not just about what's happening in that service at that moment. There are situations that are going to be fought. There are battles that are going to be fought. Prodigals are going to come back home. Our country is going to experience deliverance. The lost are going to be saved as a result of that warfare. So my worship is not just simply my response to what's going on in the service. It is for breakthrough and to defeat the powers of the air that want to limit us and keep us from our victory. However, our perspective sometimes hinders us from that worship because we're having a bad day or we're going through difficult times. So I need to adjust your perspective just a little bit and give you the proper thinking. And here's some of the things that I kind of adjust in my mind. The good days always outweigh the bad days. Now, I know that's not easy, okay, when you're having a bad day and when you're going through a difficult time. But in my overall view of looking back on my life, I can say to every one of you in this house that the good days always outweigh the bad days. And I can worship and glorify the Lord from a perspective. It might be bad now, but devil, you wait till my Jesus gets a hold of you. World, you wait till my fortress and my God shows up. You just wait. Here's another perspective that you need to get a hold of, and some of you need to get a hold of it right now. You need to find the humor in everything that goes on in your life. Learn to laugh. Learn to smile. Some of you haven't learned that yet this morning. Bless your heart. And I don't know what's going on that's caused you not to smile, that causes you to frown, or causes you to feel so pent up like the whole world's against you. But you need to learn a little humor. And I know that apostolic churches are responsive churches, and I thank God for that. But it's all right to laugh in church. It's all right to smile at God every once in a while and say, you know what, Lord, I know I'm having a bad time, but I'm still enjoying serving you. And even if you don't realize that God saved you, He must have a sense of humor. Hallelujah. Because He puts you in the church, and therefore He must have a sense of humor. Everybody takes themselves too seriously today. And then everybody's so serious all the time, and everything's so serious. No wonder you're miserable. Because if you can't have a good time in life and find out that God is a good God and God has done some good things in our life, and there is something to praise Him for, and there is something to worship Him about, thank God that He did not give up on any one of us, but He's here. He's here. He's here. He's not down the road. He's in this service. He's ready to bless you now. He's ready to turn the tables on the enemy on your behalf in this service right now. He's ready to do that on your behalf. Don't focus on the few people who don't want you to succeed. Focus on the ones who do. Because there's always going to be somebody around. And you just have to focus on the right people and the right things. And if you can, then you can worship. And then your worship becomes freed up. Then you don't have to have all these special, you don't have to have this list down here. And there's 35 things God's got to do first before you worship the Lord. You just walk in here and say, hey, good days outweigh the bad. There's something to laugh about. I've at least got one person on my side. Jesus died for me. I got one person on my side. And if he's fighting my battle, woo, hallelujah, then I can rise up and worship. What you do matters, church. I'm preaching to some people that don't think what you do matters. And I've come to tell you that every one of you matter. I'm going to say that again because I want to rock hell with that thought right now. Every last one of you matters. I think I ought to shake hell again. Every last one of you have significance and you matter. Your worship matters. Your praise matters. You matter. Your story matters. What you're going through matters. I say we ought to rise up. I can see in the spirit there's such a yearning in your heart. I can feel it. You're hungry. You know your life is kind of messed up and you want it to be reshaped and molded, and you need God to step into your life and do that for you. How many of you want to connect with God today? Is anybody hungry to connect with God in this service? I mean, and I love every one of you, but I don't want to just do church. I don't want to just come in here and sit around and wait on what is the next thing going to happen. I want to connect with an almighty God. But we live life, don't we? We go through life and the gospel gets, and its power is robbed of its glory and its ability to change and transform, because we feel that rage and we feel the injustice of life, and we're hurt and we're disappointed and our expectations are not realized and we're empty and we feel broken and without hope. But a preacher steps up to the pulpit and all of a sudden begins to declare that the gospel of Jesus Christ can change everything in your life right now. I'm not waiting on some pie in the sky. I believe Jesus has a place for you right now. I know that preaching has been reduced and preachers have been reduced in our society due to the inaccurate information put out by the media, and they're always spinning their story. But I'm not here to try to spin the story. I'm here to tell you Jesus died on a cross and He was buried in a borrowed tomb and He rose again on the third day. And that same Jesus is in this house, and He can speak new life into you. I said, you can have new power. I authorize you to worship in this house. I authorize you to say, devil, He's my God. The Lord Jesus is my God. I've got a new anointing. If you can lift your hands in this place, a new anointing, I think you ought to let the world know, the Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my King. The Lord is my Savior. Woo! I know we preach to a disconnected society. We'd rather text than talk. How many of you are so glad for the invention of texting? I can see it. You won't admit it. Okay, all right. All right, I still need to preach some repentance in the house. We have a cell phone, but we don't answer it because the voicemail and caller ID, wonderful. Can anybody get a revelation and say amen to that? But if someone texts us, we're always texting back with an abbreviated LOL or a smiley face. We don't talk anymore. We email, we text, we chat, we tweet. We go into chat rooms and we avoid the prayer room. Last time I checked, God doesn't have an email, but he does have an email. God don't need internet, but he's still on the main line and you can tell him what you want. He doesn't tweet. He's not on Facebook, but you can see him today face to face. And I wish somebody would worship him in this house. I wish somebody would get back to the roots of what old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, old-time religion is really all about. It's about conviction falling in the house. It's about sinners saying, I need a God that can forgive me. I need a Savior that can save me. We've become so passive in our disconnected society that we just let life roll all over us. Got too many people that are passive in this society. They're disconnected because they feel like life's rolling over them. And they just let it happen. They don't even do anything about it. They just say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. And then they just, you know, pop a pill or they shoot up or they do whatever they do to try to get free from all the pain of it and all the disappointment of it. And I understand that. But I know this, that there's something better than that. Now, if that's all there was, then I would say, go ahead and shoot it up. But I'm telling you right now, that's not the way to live your life. You don't have to walk around like a zombie for the rest of your life. God can deliver you from that. I preach a Jesus that has a place for you. I don't feel like I belong anywhere. You belong here. I don't feel like I matter. You matter here. But I want to say it again. Everybody matters here. Your worship matters. I think you ought to say, God, I'm looking for my place. I'm looking for my place. God has a place for you. As a matter of fact, in the Father's house, there are many mansions. That word mansions refers to rooms. And in the Spanish Bible, it says, in my Father's house, there are so many rooms that you can abide. And there's not just one room. Ezekiel saw it in his new temple that God gave him revelation of. And he saw all of these rooms on the outside of the court. And it gave hope to everyone around us that there's just a place for us somewhere in this heavenly tabernacle, in this glorious temple of the kingdom of God. There's a place for every one of you to be able to find the victory that I'm preaching about right now. Because most people sitting out there, you see that victory and then you look at the platform and say, well, you have to be on the platform. No, you can actually be in the balcony. Now, I love all the front row people, but you don't have to sit on the front row in order to get this victory. Because if you do, what are we going to do with the back row? Because everybody can't sit on the front row. But thank God the back row can get this victory because God's got a place for you. God's got a room prepared. He's got a chamber. You can experience it right now. I know there's an enemy coming. I know he's trying to defeat you. But you can find a God that is in control. And he is the one that has prepared these chambers for you. As a matter of fact, there were stacks of three sets of these 30 rooms in each level. And there was a winding staircase that went up to the higher level. And I promise you that God has already prepared this place for us. And Ezekiel saw it in the Old Testament, and Jesus has provided it to us in the New Testament. You have access to that right now. And it doesn't make any difference what room you need. Some of you need to walk into the foyer and you need to apply Acts 2:38. There's a room called repentance where you can repent of your sins and you can say, Jesus, I don't want to live this way any longer. I don't want to live like this any longer. Thank God for repentance. And you don't have to stay with repentance. Go to the next room and you can get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now notice this, when we baptize you in that water and we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, notice this, that every sin you have ever committed has anybody been free from sin in this house by the power of the blood? Every sin you have committed. You got a propitiation. You got somebody to advocate for you. You got a God that'll fight on your behalf. You got a Jesus that'll stand up and say, shut up, devil, and sit down and quit accusing my brother. This is the one I've chosen to be in my kingdom, and I've got a place for him. Woo! Do you realize how wonderful that is? Do you realize you don't have to be disconnected anymore? But you don't have to stay there with just water baptism. You can go into the next room and get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know some of you may not know this, but I just would like to explain it to you for just a moment here, that what was received on the day of Pentecost is still being poured out now. It wasn't just for the apostolic era. That is an era of the era. That is what you call the era. There's no such thing as an apostolic era. And then God ended it, and then we start this new church age. No, the church started on the day of Pentecost. God's the only one that can start a church that he builds on his rock, and this church is built on his rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you need to go to the next room and you need to get the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, how do I know I'm going to receive it? You will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And that empowers you to go to the rest of the rooms. You say, but I'm sick in my body. There's a room for healing. We got room for healing in this. We'll pray for you that God will heal you. Well, I'm in bondage now, and I'm depressed, and I'm in despair. We got a room for deliverance. You can be delivered today. We got room for you in this house. But I'm addicted to stuff. What can I do? We can free you from addiction. One moment, you can walk in here an alcoholic and then walk out sober. Walk in messed up and walk out delivered and healed. I say, walk through the rooms. Find out what God's got for you, treasures and riches and blessings and anointing. You say, well, I've been on the first floor long enough. Well, notice right behind you, there's a staircase. Now, it's not straight up like that. It's a winding staircase. And you go up to the next level, and it's even bigger than the lower level. Now, really, if those of you that build, that's not even a wise thing to do. You're supposed to build big at the bottom and then go up and make it smaller at the top. But not God. God's the only one that can reverse the curse. Hallelujah. Woo! I said God can reverse the curse. Because the higher you go, the bigger this thing gets. And the bigger your God gets. If you keep on going, you get an anointing. You get financial blessing. God starts liberating you. You start laying hands on other people. And they start getting healed. Because there's another level. But you can keep on going because there's a third level up there. And this level's got windows. Windows with the door. I'm so glad God lets us see what we can have and then opens the door so we can get it. Huh? Y'all just want to, I don't want to just look at it. I want to go get it. And you can't get it if there's no door. Because the devil wants, all he wants you to see is your trouble, your trial, your pain, your confusion, your crisis. All he wants you to look at is that. But I'm looking out the window and say, man, that's what God's going to do. That's how he wants to use. Wow, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. There's the door. Go find it. Hallelujah. God's got it for you. God's got a better life for you. God's got a better hope for you. God's got a better promise for you. You don't have to die in your sins. You can worship with joy in this place without the pain of rejection. But you don't know who rejected me. And I've had this terrible relationship, and I was abused in that relationship. And abuse is horrible on any level from anywhere or any quarter, and it should never be. But it is a brutal, terrible, painful deal. But I promise you, if you'll look out the window, you'll see yourself shouting and free from all of that pain and all of that bondage and the scars that were left behind by the abuse that you have suffered in your life, and you did not deserve it. And I don't care what devil has told you that. He's a lying devil, that you deserved it because you were bad. Everybody on this planet's bad, but thank God none of you deserve that abuse. And I'm not about to abuse you up here and have to abuse you more with verbiage trying to tear you down. God wants to lift you up. As a matter of fact, he's the lifter of my head. I wish somebody would look up right now and find out. Can I just shout right now and tell you, shout it out, that what God's done for me, he will do for you. What he's done for me, he will do for you. Can I say it again? There's a place in this church for you. Amen. There's hope for you, for the battered, for the bruised, for the broken. But hell just wants you to see your mess. David said, he's the lifter of my head. And when he lifts your head, he'll lift your eyes to the hills from which cometh your help. You say, well, I didn't get no help on that first floor. Well, just keep climbing. You might find it on the second floor. It gets greater as you go up. If you can learn to lift up your head, lift up your eyes, lift up your hands, and then lift up your voice. So, lift your head, lift your hands, lift your mind and heart. Now lift your voice. Watch it. Watch God just start blessing people in this house. Watch the Holy Ghost start blessing right now. Lift your head, lift your hands. Lift your voice. The chambers get bigger as you go up. There's a room for you. There's a place for you. And you got to keep climbing. I want you to stand to your feet. I want to call you to this altar right now, all over this house. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name, we'll do it. If you need the Holy Ghost, we'll pray for you. You need deliverance, we'll stay with you. You need healing, we'll do that for you too. The world's messed you up, taken all and stolen all your hope. Walk up here by the cross of Jesus Christ. I stand on solid ground. I stand on a rock of the revelation of who Jesus is. And I want you to walk up here and I want you to claim your victory. All over this house, claim your victory. Walk up here and say, I want the Holy Ghost. I want deliverance. I want salvation. I want the Spirit of the Lord to minister to me. I want the Lord to show me how to do this. Walk up here right now. Everybody that needs a God to touch them today. Come on. Walk up here. I know you feel rejected. You don't feel at peace. You don't feel at peace. You don't feel like you belong anywhere. You feel disconnected. I want you to walk up here and trust in the Lord and let God connect you, provide that room for you. Now, He's already gone to prepare the place for you, and it's already prepared. And I know there's an eternal aspect to what He's saying, and I recognize that. That there is a place by Him that we will not receive until we are either raptured or resurrected in the first resurrection. I realize that. But it bears to mention that what He was saying is that what I have prepared you can begin to enjoy now. And that the earnest of our inheritance, it's not all of our inheritance, but it's the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance, which is the Holy Ghost in our hearts, the seal of the Spirit that we're asking you to receive today, that we want you to experience in your life, will seal the deal. It'll seal the deal. And God will open those rooms to you to where you can start enjoying one blessing and fellowship with Him after another. And it gets bigger and better and sweeter as the higher you go. So what I want us to do right now, if you would, all over this building, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to just begin to pray with me in the Holy Ghost and just ask and repent together and say, God, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my sin. I don't want to live this world and in this world without your presence and strength in my life. I want everybody here to repent. I want you to cry out to the Lord in repentance, and I want you to call upon the name of Jesus. I want you to say, God, I want to make my calling and election sure here today. I want to seek your face, and I want to turn from my wicked ways, and I want to live for you and obey your voice, and I want to do your will. Come on. I want to hear a cry go up from this house. I want to hear a cry go up. Want to hear a cry go up? Go ahead. Cry out to the King. Call upon the name of Jesus. I want you to climb the staircase with me. Let's go to the next room here. We're going to praise Him for a moment. If you've repented, then God has forgiven you, and you need to receive water baptism in Jesus' name. And if you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized this morning. So we're ready to baptize you whenever you want to be baptized. Today is the day of salvation, so don't wait. But I want you to lift your hands right now all over this building, because God's about to pour out a blessing on you and a deliverance on you. And if you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost, I want you to receive it right now. I want you to lift your hands and begin. Lift your head. I don't want you to hang your head. I want you to lift your head and allow God's Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of Jesus, I speak Holy Ghost and fire upon you right now. Deliverance, healing. Come on, let's climb the stairs together. Worship will lift us. Praise will lift us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Arabayasiya. Go ahead and believe God. Go ahead and believe God. Yep.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.